You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 11th, 2018, and by the end of this episode, one of us will die. Dun, dun, dun. Dun.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And it's time for Retribution.
Retribution.
Red Dead Retribution.
Oh, gosh. Don't get me. I'm so excited for Red Dead.
Yeah, it's on the brain whenever there's a video game with an R in the title. Yeah. We are going to talk a little bit about Overwatch Retribution this week, and we're going to talk a little bit, as the internet is wont to do, we're going to take one tiny thing that Jeff Kaplan said and spin it completely out of context.
Oh my god, yeah. And then we're going to dub over his voice and make him make promises he can never reasonably keep.
George and Scott, I'm going to send you $5 million.
Welcome to BlizzCon.
Welcome to BlizzCon.
How weird is it that Jeff Kaplan has like accidentally become the voice of Overwatch?
I mean, it started out seeming like he was, I mean, you know, they put him in front of the camera for a reason, but then just the community got obsessed with him. Like, I Googled him before we started recording, yeah. And one of the top Google image results, you know, in that little sidebar summary that Google gives you, one of the top images is just a cropped out version of his face for use in various avatars and memes.
Holy shit, dude. That's crazy.
It's not even a headshot. Like, you know what's nuts? You know what's kind of
nuts? If Jeff Kaplan wanted to, he could quit Overwatch and become a full-time Twitch streamer.
He could.
He could just be like, I'm done. I'm going to become a personality now.
Jeff Kaplan plays Getting Over It.
I mean, how long could Jeff Kaplan just have a Patreon to just fund a lavish lifestyle? You know?
Support Jeff Kaplan's lifestyle.
Yeah, if Jeff Kaplan straight up came out on Twitter and was like, look, to be honest, I'm making a GoFundMe campaign to buy a boat. Hook me up. You know people would fucking donate.
Come on, you got to donate to Captain Kaplan.
Captain Jeff Kaplan's Captain Cruise.
I would go on that cruise, yeah. Overwatch, well, let's talk a little bit about the mode first, and then let's talk about the thought experiment.
Yes.
So the mode is called Retribution, and it is a wave-based PvE?
Absolutely correct. On a new map called Rialto, which I presume is somewhere in Italy.
Is it... And it's a brand new map, like it's not a carve out of one of the current ones.
Correct. Yeah, it's a brand new map specifically for this game mode.
Got it. And I know we had played the Halloween one where it was kind of wave based, but it was much more it was more traditional. It was almost like tower defense. Like you had to defend the base, and if people got to the base, that was it.
Yeah, very much so. And if you played with Bastion, it's just tower defense. and turrets and stuff, yeah.
You just set up Bastion.
Yeah, the Halloween one was very much... must have been their first foray into the PvE thing, right? Because the Halloween event, I believe, took place prior to the event where there was the Omnic invasion. I don't know if you played that one at all.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And so the Halloween one, yeah, just had waves, but then it also had like a few discrete bosses as well. But those bosses were just other... heroes from Overwatch, right? So it was like Roadhog would show up. Yeah, exactly. Or a zombie version of I forget who the main boss was. I think it was Junkrat.
Junkenstein.
Yeah, Junkenstein, that's right.
Yeah. So this one it's waves of robots, but you have to get to a point similar to Left 4 Dead, right?
Yeah, so you basically start in a bank and then, you know, the timer's counting down for it to open the doors, and meanwhile people are coming from different sides in waves, and then you go outside and it's basically the same thing, rinse, wash, repeat, basically through three to four general spaces, spawning some unique enemies as you go along. I think your Left 4 Dead example is basically spot on, especially because at the end of the mission, you basically fight one last wave, And then a helicopter, or I guess a jet, shows up to rescue you guys. You all get on board and you fly off to success, which is basically how every single Left 4 Dead mission ended, right? Yeah. You would refuel the car and then you'd get into the car. You would get the electricity back on and then you would get on the boat, right? All of those sort of rinse, wash, repeat through multiple missions, but essentially that was the end goal. Right. So this is almost like a small little piece of what would be a Left 4 Dead mission.
Is there an AI director element? Like, is there any random generation of enemy types that you can see?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so. The game has four difficulties, like normal, hard, legendary, or
cool
expert.
Guy.
Yeah, fucking Jeff Kaplan's secret captain cabin. Difficulty.
Captain Kaplan's torture Kaplan's, chamber.
Yeah, Kaplan's captain cabin. Yeah, captions. So my guess is that those four difficulties are the way that you would augment that. It's interesting, you know. Now that I think about it, I don't think that Left 4 Dead director idea ever went anywhere besides Left 4 Dead, right? At least that I'm aware of. No, not in a way that people talked about it,
or not in a way that. Is so up front and center. Like, I don't know if something like Vermintide does that. That game recently came out and it's structured similarly. And I don't know if there's, you know, some sort of random element to that. But it was one of those things like the Nemesis system in Shadow of Mordor that it was like, oh man, this is going to be a thing that everyone copies and everyone does. And then it's just kind of, you know, it was just like a unique thing for that game.
I mean, for people who don't know, the director system was essentially a way to augment the difficulty or random generation of enemies as you played the game based upon what you did. So if you spent a long time indoors, it would spawn particular enemies outdoors, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I bet you the answer is no as well, because this is a timed event. And I often feel like these events are timed because they don't want people to realize that it's not that good. Or maybe that's not the right way to put it, but like they don't want.
Well,
they don't
I mean,
want
the longer
get...
you have to knock against it, the more you see the seams.
Exactly, and you don't want people to get bored of it, to feel like it's super repetitive. You know, these timed events in particular are interesting, and then they're not new, right? Like even PUBG's doing it now with their like shotguns only timed event, right? There are ways to add a little bit of excitement to the mix without crazy changing things, and it's a way to bring back in lapsed players. So I imagine they're doing the same thing for that. But what's interesting, I think, is the feeling like, oh, this is actually works as a narrative device as well. Like, oh, this could be a way to expand the universe of Overwatch in a really interesting way. The Halloween, Junkenstein's Revenge or whatever, didn't really have any sort of narrative hook. It was just sort of like a timed Halloween, almost like I think in the fiction, it was a story that I think one of the characters was telling the others, like they were reading a book to Tracer or something.
Yeah.
But the Omnic event in the previous version of this, like sort of PVE second moment, right, was that was tied to a specific event that happened in the history of Overwatch, and that's what this is as well. Like both of these are essentially playable flashbacks.
Have you kept up with the Overwatch lore?
A little bit. I watched all of the shorts and I perused the comics. But I mean, I'm not like reading fanfic. I'm not writing it. Certainly don't go to George's OverwatchFanfic.com.
I'm not writing
That's not
it
me.
With my given name.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty interested in their overall strategy for the fiction because I don't actually believe them when they say, oh, Overwatch was designed as a multiplayer first game, blah, 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 because I'm pretty sure this is what was salvaged out of that shelved Project Titan that they had been working on for years and years.
Which was supposed to be an MMO, right?
Yeah, and the backstory of lots of this stuff kind of feels like that. And so I'm not actually sure that... I don't know, I can't tell where the line is between where... like the real story is and what they're just, you know, they don't want to go forward in the story because nothing exists.
Yeah. Well, so there's a Eurogame interview with Jeff Kaplan where they ask him, like, you know, are you actually going to work on any modern day story? Because except for, I'm pretty sure, except for the launch trailer, right, which showed like Winston saving that arm from Reaper and Widowmaker, I believe, in a museum, and Tracer was there as well. Besides that, like, I don't think that there's anything set in the sort of modern era of Overwatch. Everything is a sort of flashback. Every time you play a map or the references that you find in the map, it's not like, here's what Winston is doing. Like, they turned on the Overwatch protocol or whatever, and then that's that. But in the interview, he does say that they have, like, planned stuff. I just don't think they've really talked about it. You know, like, I don't know if they're, like, this isn't, like, a thing they're willing to make public. That's certainly true.
I mean, I would like to see that stuff just because it's been just vague enough for, what, 2 years now, I guess?
Yeah.
That it seems like now would be an interesting time to dive back into it, especially in the face of basically PUBG and Fortnite flipping the table on whatever Overwatch had going for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a cool way to get some people back in that using a thing that those other two games don't serve at all, which is some sort of story.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, there is no story to PUBG whatsoever, right? Can you imagine how weird that would be anyway? Of just like, oh, hey, Jim, you need to go to this island and fight 99
You need
other...
to take a vacation.
Yeah. this is just like a bad episode of like Con Air or whatever. I think you're right. I think there's something really interesting to the world of Overwatch that those other games don't have. And if you want to bring people in, I actually think it's a pretty effective way to do it, you know, to have this sort of these narrative pieces. If they were to do this, though, do you think that this is how you'd want to consume it? Like, let's imagine Daddy Kaplan says, we're going to make a full story campaign. It's going to be a 10-hour campaign. Do you want it as like a co-op campaign? I mean, we mentioned Left 4 Dead, and Left 4 Dead does sort of have a story because, you know, each of the multiplayer levels are essentially like three-part little arcs about the characters doing something that are then part of a larger arc of them, I don't know, escaping Atlanta and finding the remnants of the CDC, right?
Yeah.
Is that something that you think could work for Overwatch, or do you think that they would, or would you rather like read the modern day story in the form of shorts or comic books or like a mix of it all?
It makes me, the more we talk about it, actually, the more I start thinking that the closest analog that I have is fighting games.
Interesting. Okay.
Because there's no, like, if you
so
look
like
at
Winston
a,
jumps on you and then bursts through a wall and then it's like the next arena.
Yeah, Winston does his dragon punch and then just bursts me through the ceiling. I think the reason is because for the longest time, even something like Street Fighter has had a canonical story.
Yeah.
Or something like Mortal Kombat has had a canonical story where characters actually die or, you know, are injured or whatever, and then there's ramifications for the next. But in parallel, there's this weird endless battle of characters that has no consequences.
Yeah.
Because you could just play Ryu versus Ken all day, but in the canonical story of Street Fighter, it's not that. You know, it's Ryu versus Bison.
Yeah. But what about, like, the way that Mortal Kombat, the newer Mortal Kombat, tell their story? You know, where, like, it's one fight that leads into another.
I mean, to me, that Mortal Kombat style is the gold standard for a game that is primarily supposed to be a competitive game, telling a story that is not only... Well, I guess their cleverness of that is it's basically just clever cutscenes. Because what they do is they just, you know, they have a really fun, clever cutscene and then dump you into a 1v1 fighting game fight and then gracefully zoom that out into another cutscene instead of having to change the core mode. I think Overwatch's problem is either people expect or they want to challenge themselves to have a special mode to tell a story where maybe you don't actually need a special mode. You need a special medium, you know, whether it's an animated short or a comic book or whatever.
Yeah. You know what I think would be really cool, though? I mean, all that being said, what if you had a thing where, like, you know, there's a... In the Mortal Kombat way, right? There's a beginning cutscene, and then there's a normal 6v6 Overwatch match in a particular arena. But each side has to pick, like, a limited roster, right? You've got your Overwatch crew, and then your, what is it, Talon?
Talon, yeah.
Your Talon crew, right? And then the result of that match affects the next cutscene and maybe even the next location, such that you have a sort of like branching story that changes based upon who's winning, the Overwatch team or the Talon team. Like, it might be interesting to have an attempt, at least, of telling a coherent narrative arc across what are essentially the same normal multiplayer matches.
You know what we just described?
What's that?
Pyre.
That's, yeah. Yeah, basically. Like, if Pyre were multiplayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really cool, in fact. And in fact, you could even say, I'm going to queue up specifically to do the story arc for the bad guys. Yeah. And then you play the bad. You could even play from there. I mean, you could have two independent, coherent narratives about the group of Talon players and the group of Overwatch players taking you through the whole story. Or what would be, I mean, if you wanted to really put in the work, you could have individual, like if you were playing as Tracer, maybe there are specific Tracer cutscenes that only you see depending on the matches and the outcome of them.
How did WoW handle this with the Horde and Alliance factions?
I mean, they didn't really change anything. Like, the world was not malleable in any way based upon the faction play as you went around the map. It did change later on in future expansions when they started like instancing things. So like when the werewolves show up, like they do some really interesting things where you go into a like an instance of an area that's in a different period of time. And then when you like reach a level or you finish a quest, you leave that instance and join a different instance in the same environment. But now the characters have changed and people who are there have changed because it's like symbolizing a passage of time. So they've told their story in some interesting ways by changing which instance you're in, essentially.
Did they ever come down with a canonical version of, okay, the Horde did this, and no matter what you did in your story, this is the way it played out?
Oh, yeah, definitely, right? Like, that's all established. I mean, it's the same with Diablo, right? Like, Diablo 3 exists in a timeline in which the particular endings of Diablo and Diablo 2 happened in the way that they happened, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's interesting, though, is you even have moments, and in fact, maybe this is more similar to the way that Overwatch is doing it, where you could go back in time and re-experience an event that took place in the Warcraft strategy games, but in first-person perspective in WoW, when you replay these historical events, which were really fucking cool. And you could change the historical event. It doesn't change the canon of it, but, you know, you sort of go about making sure time happens in a particular way when you experience those raids and dungeons.
Uh-huh. I mean, I think that's trying to figure out how to make the story meaningful without making people feel like pinned into like a certain canonical, you know, set of outcomes.
Yeah,
would be difficult, especially for a community like Overwatch, where people feel really strongly about the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. What's kind of interesting too, minor tangent though, is that while we talk about the ways that they could make this happen, the length of time that this Eurogamer article is saying it took them to work on Retribution was almost a year.
Yeah.
And I... Well, you think that's not true?
Well...
Liars!
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it takes a long time, but they have a lot of other stuff to work on, you know?
For sure, for sure.
It's not they were not working on anything else that entire year.
yeah, exactly, right? But the idea is like, man, if they, you know, in this same interview, Kaplan says that if they were to really make a campaign, it's basically like making a brand new game for them, right?
Yeah.
If it's taking a year to make content that's relatively short, like you could play it on normal mode, a match of Retribution is probably over in like 15 minutes, if that.
Yeah. Right?
If you're imagining an actual campaign that, let's say, even lasts, you know, 6 hours, that's you know, you're looking at many, many years of work on something like that. If they're not already working on team. It, yeah, if they haven't already been working on it, we're not going to see it anytime soon. But to your point about, you know, Fortnite and PUBG, this has to be something they're talking about, right? Like, the ways to bring back players back in the environment, in a multiplayer environment in particular, where who knows what the next Fortnite will be. Like, I don't know if Fortnite's going to be as big as it's going to be in 6 months, right? We already have what Epic came out with their weird, like, retro fun version of Battle Royale today, right? Like, there's all sorts of weird games that will come out of nowhere and be competing with Overwatch. So I think doubling down on what they do well, which I think to some extent is certainly this character development, seems like a natural progression of where they have to take the game.
If they offered it for a certain amount of money, would you buy it?
If they offered like a whole campaign?
Yeah, if they offered something like, interesting, here's the final showdown between, you know, Reaper and Soldier, or whatever that relationship is.
Yeah. It kind of depends on what is in there, right? Like, if it was something like I described, or if it was even a collection of PvE moments like this, like in an expansion form. If they were basically like, hey, we made Overwatch Left 4 Dead. Yeah, probably. I probably would buy it. I love Left 4 Dead. Like, that stuff is great, you know?
So, Jeff, our old buddy Jeff, Jeffy.
Jeffy, Captain.
Yeah, Captain Jeffy said, in an offhand remark, he was talking about, well, in a go-forward narrative sense, you know, some characters might come and go. They might actually have to kill off some characters. But you'd still have those characters in the competitive mode.
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting to actually get rid of characters.
To not let them be played multiplayer.
Yeah, just to full-on get rid of them. Because think about it. People aren't buying characters, so you're not beholden to people's purchase.
Yeah.
It's something that is completely different from how any other game operates. And it's something that would allow you to clear the slate, you know, to open up the roster in such a way that you could introduce new characters, or existing characters could learn the techniques of their fallen comrades or something. I mean, it just seems like it would be a cool experiment to try. I mean, people would
flip their shit.
Oh, yeah, totally. But, yeah. I mean, can you imagine how great it would be, though? Like, it would be a truly... You don't really see that level of, you know, Kojima-esque fuckery on on a scale that is a broad and multiplayer basis.
Yeah. It's interesting because there is a level of balance support that it provides, right? Like, if there was a character that you're having a hard time fixing in a way that feels right, you could just be like, fucking
dead.
Yeah, they're dead. Sorry, Genji. Genji died. Oh, he got hit by a bus. Like, a letter goes out from Jeff Kaplan. Like, yeah, sorry to inform you, Jeff, Genji got hit by a bus.
No one mourns.
Nobody, no one is sad that day. The interesting thing is, in a way, if we were to imagine a future where, I don't see them doing this now where there's so few characters, but let's say there was 120 Overwatch characters. We're 10 years down the line, right? Like, League of Legends style, there's just a ton of characters. You could theoretically start killing them off, and it would almost be more like the way that Magic the Gathering has particular sets and blocks, you know? Where at some point, certain characters are phased out of competitive play. And when they're phased out of competitive play or ranked play, then you know, you can basically do whatever you want in terms of the actual story. You can say that they're dead. Overwatch already has the freedom of creating weird things and then just throwing them in the sort of side cupboard that's true. Arcade mode, right?
So
you could say, yeah, you know what? We killed off Mercy. She's dead. You can no longer play this character in ranked modes. You'll never see it in the Overwatch League. But if you want to play her, you still can in the arcade or in normal modes or whatever, right? And just sort of phase them out. Yeah, I think that would be super interesting.
Who would you kill off?
Oh, if I had to... This is like fuck, marry, kill of Overwatch.
Yes.
Who would I kill?
There's an obvious answer here.
Is it Hanzo?
Of course it's Hanzo. Yeah,
to be honest, I think killing one of the brothers would actually be, like, narratively interesting.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he almost already, like, you know, Genji almost already died that one time. Hanzo thought he was dead.
I think killing Reinhardt, though, would be, like, a tragic... Like, that's the thing is, I would want to kill a character that is, like, people feel emotionally invested in and mechanically invested in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not as... It wouldn't be as cool to have them kill off a character that people like to play. I mean, again, this will never happen. This is this would be crazy because people would be so mad. Especially because they monetized this. Can you imagine if all of your skins were like, oh, this is useless now?
I mean, that's why they would have to do something like you said of keep them in the arcade mode or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that would be great. I mean, we were talking about comics a little bit, and every once in a while they, you know, they kill off a character. Oh, Captain America's dead, or even like Superman died for a while.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, that also by no means, Superman will never die. He'll just die for a little bit, then he'll bring him back. And,
yeah,
and
they don't stay, you know, dead.
Exactly, to much fanfare and sales. And so think of how crazy it would be if they released another trailer and they're going to introduce a new character and Tracer's about to get blown up by some huge blast, and then the minute before, you know, she closes her eyes and cringes against the wall, and the minute before it hits, a shield is in front of her, and it's like, ah, guten Tag.
Yeah, you know, I was actually, this the comic book thing is interesting too, because they could bring the characters back down the road and still have it be interesting. Like, they could say, hey, we're killing off Mercy and not tell anybody, and then when they queue up, like, Mercy is not in the list.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then Jeff's head is just like, "We told you we killed her off."
Ah.
Well, and then imagine like 1 month goes by, Mercy comes back, but she's fucking drastically changed. Now she's like a pure DPS character with like a mecha arm and stuff.
Oh my god!
You know, and they like tie it into the narrative. Like, you could have a really interesting. The thing is, it's hard. It's hard to sell a game as a like a multiplayer, fun, chill game like this and then take it so seriously that you're killing characters off. But I think it would be really interesting to say or even to make a whole new game from scratch. Like, if another game company did this, right? What if they said, like, we're going to make a multiplayer game. It's only multiplayer, but we're going to be telling a narrative every month. Every month is going to be like a new game mode that advances the storyline in like an episodic way, right? We have the games like The Walking Dead where they tell an episodic story expansion by expansion. But what if we had that with these game modes every couple months for a particular multiplayer game? And there was just the promise that, like, look, characters will die off. You will never be able to play them again. This will give us the freedom to make characters that are fucking busted, that are not perfect and not well balanced, but it's okay because a month from now they're gone anyway, right? Like, it gives them a lot of room to wiggle around with. That might be really interesting, actually. You know, if they just straight up went out of the gates and said that, then anybody who bought in couldn't really complain.
Yeah, because you're buying in to see the... It is a different way of telling a story without having to totally separate the narrative part from the actual competitive part.
Right. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Is how do you tell an interesting story in a multiplayer game?
Yeah.
And I think very few companies ever even bother trying. So it's always interesting to me to watch what Overwatch is doing.
What is League doing these days? Because there's some story behind League, but I don't know if they've ever gone forward or, you know, changed it at all.
They've actually changed the story of League of Legends drastically over the past year. Mm. They have like rewritten character backstories completely and changed the relationship to one another. They've really put in a lot of effort to expand the universe. They've done like timed events where they'll talk about specific like cities and locations where some of the characters are from. So they'll have like, hey, we wrote a whole story about Iona. And sometimes it'll be tied to remakes. So, for example, they redid a skin for Varus, who's this character in League of Legends that is like half human, half demon. And then they released a comic book, and the comic book told the story about how it was two different people, two male lovers, who ended up like trying to save each other. And then in the middle of the comic book, they then post a music video that's an animated music video that shows the two lovers basically falling into this portal and then like becoming one creature and then coming out as Varus when the comic book finishes. So they basically told the story of the character in League of Legends through like a narrative back arc, a comic book, and a music video and an in-game skin update all at once.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a crazy amount of work for them to do that. And they're making really interesting stuff in terms of the expanded universe. None of it is making its way in the game beyond, you know, changing up the look of the characters, but people are still consuming it. I mean, who knows if it's going to mean they're going to make, you know, like a animated film one day. They're definitely experimenting with animated shorts, and they've been releasing, really interestingly, they've been releasing a lot of animated shorts using different art styles for each short. So they did one for Annie, which is like this little girl fire demon character, using largely like watercolor, essentially. And then they did a different story for Miss Fortune in like pencil drawings, and then a different one in a different style. So it's kind of interesting to see them not take the really high value 3D Pixar style that Blizzard is doing, and instead just saying, you know what, we're going to embrace the unique aesthetic of each character and focus on that instead of making a sort of one consistent aesthetic for the entire world of League of Legends.
The League thing fascinates me because it's one of the biggest games ever,
yeah,
but they also spend so much time on all of this lore creation that it's almost like at a certain point it's almost like the game is just a piece, the game is a piece of the larger product, which is the lore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the lore, you know, has products that support it, like the shorts or the comics or the videos or whatever. I mean, it's not this way yet, but you can see that's almost what they're angling for, where everyone wants to turn everything into like a Mickey Mouse style thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's this huge expanded behemoth.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's a brand rather than a game. You know, the brand is the thing, and kind of like what Star Wars has turned into, where there's now far more non-movie Star Wars stuff than there ever has been.
Yeah.
And Star Wars is no longer a set of movies. It's like this entire, you know, sprawling behemoth of games and clothing and theme park rides. And so I think with a competitive thing, it works better if it is part of one of those larger multi-disciplined things.
Well, and I think it's working too, right? Like, I think the logic is that, you know, if you watch an animated story about a character in a video game that you really like, maybe you'll want to log on and play some more. Maybe you'll want to try a character that you don't normally try because they're interesting. And certainly in the terms of monetization, maybe you'll buy a loot box or you'll buy a skin that shows off that particular aspect of the story because it's fucking cool, you know? And I don't know if it's working, and like, I don't know how you would, I guess you'd just see whether or not there's an uptick in players playing, say, as Bastion after a Bastion trailer, or buying Bastion skins or loot boxes after a skin trailer. But my guess is it would work, because certainly for me it does work, right? Like, I'll watch something or read the comic in League of Legends and go like, oh shit, that's super cool, I should try that character, or I should at least play League, you know?
I would try to take an Overwatch character, to kill off an Overwatch character, but just have them fade away, to disappear.
Where you mean, it's like just walk into the darkness?
No, just quietly. They don't show up in character select or matchmaking anymore, where it's like, hey, whatever happened to May?
People would notice, dude. People would notice so fast.
I guess if it was May, of course, since everyone loves her. But was, you know, who's someone that just, you know, who's the Hawkeye of Overwatch?
Yeah, someone that people don't really use.
Yeah, not hate too, because if they hate it, then they would definitely notice.
Yeah, Sombra, Sombra. No. Who's the other support with the little turrets and the portal? What's her name?
Zarya?
No. Is Sombra the one, the support character that she launches a shield? Why am I not remembering right now?
Sombra is the one that has the warping, right?
That's not the person that
she's the one that boops people.
Yes, she boops people. She's played competitively.
Yeah.
One second. I'm on the website. I'm on the website.
I'm direct messaging Jeff Kaplan.
Symmetra. If she disappeared, I don't think people would notice.
But then it'd be like, whatever happened to her? And then you can bring her back with some crazy epic gear, and then she'd make this hero's return.
Yeah.
You need to tease Symmetra. It. I used to play Symmetra all the time. That makes me sad. No one plays her anymore.
Well, and then you can have like an ARG, you know? Find Symmetra.
It's like Pokemon Go, but with Symmetra.
Partner with fucking Wheaties and like hide codes in boxes of cereal.
I found a turret. Well, I'll be interested to see what happens with it. It's been a long time since I've dipped back into Overwatch, but I think this the lore dump actually makes me more motivated to get back in there.
Yeah, you
because
should try
I remember how that stuff was cool.
Yeah, you should definitely try Retribution. I'd be interested to see if that's like an avenue that would bring people back, you know.
And it's just a different change of pace. I mean, it feels like everything right now is Battle Royale, so it's a nice little, oh, right, we can do this a different way.
I mean,
we
that's the
to.
Thing is, I don't think Overwatch Battle Royale would bring me back in the same way. Like, hard pass on that. Hard pass
I mean,
on Battle Royale.
I would want to see it just to see it. You know, just to see the mess.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, just to see, like, 100 Winstons falling out of a jet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, how would that even work? What if you just detached all of the abilities and you just had to pick one up as you found them? So you'd get, Winston's jump, Reaper shotgun.
Junkrat's bomb. He's just flying around.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I still would not put it past them to someday do a Battle Royale, but maybe that's more TBD.
Yeah, TBD.
All right, let's leave it there for now before we kill off any of our other beloved characters. They're safe for now. Jeff. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our captain's cabin. Come on by. Bring your friends. Leave us a review.
Cool. Thanks for listening, everyone. Until next week, talk to you soon.
Ciao. Every time we disagree, there's a place to go to.